So tonight we'll look at the eighth commandment, which is, you shall not steal. You shall not steal. It's one of those things that sometimes you look at a single verse and wonder how you would get a whole message out of you shall not steal, because it seems not only something which is fairly self-explanatory, but also something which everyone accepts. You shall not steal. If you went into the streets, I'm sure you would find that people would say, yep, it's wrong to steal. They would know what you're talking about. It wouldn't be confusing to them. And they would agree with you. Yes, it's wrong to steal. And this is one of those commandments that people accept. And people might argue about sexual morality, or they might argue about keeping the Sabbath day holy or worshipping God, but most people, perhaps all people to at least some extent, will say, yeah, it's wrong to steal. And yet, I doubt that there's any person here, at least any adult here, who hasn't actually been the victim of theft. I know that when I started looking at this and thinking about this, there's just all these things came to mind about things that had been stolen from me. And I thought, well, okay, for something that people accept as true, there's still a lot of stealing that goes on. So why is that? If there's something that everyone agrees on as to the fact that it's wrong to steal, then how is it that in the end, there's a lot of stealing that happens? It's one of those things nobody likes to be stolen from. There's a sense of anger and a sense of injustice and violation. A couple of months ago, we left our front door open overnight, not wide open, just unlocked. And someone came in, even while we were sleeping in the house, and took some stuff out of our house. And it was only, you know, a camera, an iPod and a watch, but there was just this real sense of feeling really angry that someone was so unjust as to take that thing which belonged to me, and also just a little bit unsafe too. So if everyone agrees that it's wrong, where's the difference? You see, the thing is, probably most Australians agree that it's wrong, but in the end, they're not really sure that stealing itself is wrong, but instead, probably most Australians tend to focus on the circumstances which surround stealing. Stealing, we could just say, is taking someone else's things without their permission. It rightly belongs to something else. Something rightly belongs to someone else, and you've taken it without their permission. It's not complicated, and yet most Australians will grant that there are circumstances which make stealing bad, rather than believing in their hearts that stealing itself is bad. God, here in the Old Testament, is giving us a commandment which is from him. It's something which we have to take as true because it's from him, and something that we have to believe and apply to our lives as something that is God-given and not defined by the people around about us or the society around about us, but something that we obey because God has given it. And when we start to look at this commandment from the perspective that God has given it, we start to realise that even though we say that we agree, probably all of us at some point in our lives are actually guilty of breaking this commandment. Australians tend to focus on the circumstances. Perhaps it actually affects you too. For instance, do you ever take something which belongs to someone else on a beach? Do you steal a pair of sunglasses? It doesn't even sound like stealing. You wouldn't steal a pair of sunglasses from a shop because you know it's got the price tag there and you know there's an alarm on the door and you know it belongs to someone else. Yet, if you change the circumstances where you don't have to be sneaky and there's a pair of sunglasses lying on the beach because someone has left them behind, they're not your sunglasses. But because you can walk up and pick them up and take them easily without sneaking around, it tends to make you feel like it's okay to take it. It tends to make you feel like it's okay to take that thing that doesn't actually belong to you and rightly belongs to someone else. So the fact that you don't have to be sneaky about taking that thing defines whether or not you feel guilty about taking it. But if you think about it, how many of you have actually left your sunglasses on a beach, or your thongs on a beach, or a wallet on a beach, and you've gone back 20 minutes, half an hour later, and it's gone, and you feel like someone has stolen something from you. They've taken it, and you know that it's yours, and yet someone has stolen from you, and they don't believe they have stolen from you. I remember a time when I was going out with Alison, and one of the things you do when you're going out is you go for long walks on a beach, and you don't walk in shoes, so I took my shoes off, and I put them in the sand dunes up there, and I was coming back for them. And yet, when I got back, someone had taken them. I went, I've been stolen from. And perhaps they just thought to themselves, well, they're not there, I don't have to be sneaky, and felt justified about taking my shoes. We tend to let ourselves off the hook if we don't have to be sneaky about taking something. If it's really easy, we can end up falling into sin. A really easy thing to do, for instance, is to take things through technology. And I've challenged my students on this a number of times, where you have all these warnings which come up when you have a DVD. They say, if you copy this DVD, it's stealing. And even the government says it's stealing. And the secular world around them says it's stealing. But some of those students, even though they are Christians, will say, nah, it's not stealing. And you ask them why. And it's basically, well, it can't really be stealing because it's just so easy. It's not hard. So just because something can be taken without having to sneak around for it doesn't mean that it's not stealing. And we tend to justify ourselves in order to get the things that we want without actually having to pay for them. Another thing which is really common in Australian society is that people feel justified taking something that isn't theirs as long as they're taking it from someone who is wealthy. And often the wealthy person is an employer. And I told you there's all these times when I can think of actually having been associated with or been the victim of theft. Another time was when I was working in the Arnott's factory. And when we started at the Arnott's factory, the manager said, look, you all used to get sachets of coffee for morning tea, but we've stopped doing that. You know why? Because we figured it out one day, we did an audit, and for every single person who did a shift, there were 10 sachets of coffee missing for each person per shift. I went, wow, that's a lot of coffee. And this is part of the mindset. There are probably people there who they would never have stolen or thought of themselves as a thief, and yet, because it was their employer, they worked for their employer, and maybe they thought their employer was a bit of a cheapskate, and their employer could afford it, they were willing to steal even if it was just on a small level. Maybe there was a few of them taking home 40 or 50 coffee satchels every time they had a shift. But it's not the circumstances surrounding theft which actually make stealing right or wrong. It's not right to steal from someone who is wealthy because it's easy and because they're wealthy. Why is it that we actually permit ourselves to steal from some types of people? Why is it that people permit themselves to steal from their employers? Why is it that people permit themselves to steal from the government? Maybe it's because people think that, well, they can afford it, and they won't notice. But the wrongness of stealing isn't determined by the things that surround the action of stealing. There aren't some times when stealing is right and some times when stealing is wrong. God simply says, "You shall not steal." Do not steal. So if you're applying it personally to yourself, it's a pretty basic question. Okay, ask yourself two questions. Does this belong to someone else? And secondly, do I have permission to take it? And if it belongs to someone else, but you have permission to take it, then it's not stealing. If it doesn't belong to someone else, well, I suppose that it isn't stealing. But there's more to it than just people stealing even though they don't think of themselves as thieves. Because why does God actually forbid stealing? What is it about stealing that in itself is wrong? What is it about stealing that's wrong? I want to suggest that when you steal, when you take something that belongs to someone else without their permission, you reveal a wrong attitude about God, you reveal a wrong attitude about others, and you reveal a misunderstanding of yourself. So just that first one there. When someone steals, maybe it's you, maybe it's someone else, it reveals something about your attitude towards God. It reveals a sinful attitude towards God. You see, it's God that actually gave this law. And it's God that gives you everything else in your life. And when you say, "I want this," and I'm willing to disobey God to get it, you're forgetting that it's God that's actually given you everything that you have. You're not recognizing that God is your provider. Your desire for the thing that you see in front of you is actually overridden, if you have a relationship with God, your love for God. Or you simply don't care what God thinks. It certainly means that you are forgetting to be thankful for what you currently have. Now, this idea of thankfulness, not actually remembering what God has given to you, is most obvious when we consider the great gift of God. When you desire something so much that you're willing to disobey God in order to get it, then you really haven't understood, or perhaps you've forgotten and set aside, the central truth of the gospel. Remember this, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If God gave you that, if God was willing to give up so much for you, have you forgotten it in that instant where you decide to take what God has said isn't yours? where you set your desire for something in the world above God who's actually given Jesus Christ. See, God has given to you freely. And if you're stealing, even if it's on a small level, then you've forgotten what you've been given. Or you've forgotten, you haven't understood perhaps, what it is that God has offered you. Because what God offers you in the cross of Jesus Christ is far greater than anything that you can steal here in the world. So it shows that you're not recognising just how much God has actually given to you already. The other thing that it shows about your attitude towards God is that you're not actually trusting him to care for you. There's a question about stealing which always comes up when you say it's always wrong to steal, and that is, what about those people who are in really dire circumstances? What about the really hard circumstances that people find themselves in? The Bible does actually address that. The Bible says in Proverbs that people don't despise a poor man when he steals, but when he's found out, he has to pay back sevenfold. Even for the poor man in the Bible, yes, it was still wrong. You understood, but it was still wrong. What is central here is the fact that God is the one who is able to provide. Even for a poor man, God is the one who is able to provide for that poor man. Romans 8:32 says this, "Remember what God has given up. He who did not spare his own son, how shall he not freely give us all things?" Romans 8:32. If God has given up his own son and has offered him to you freely, won't he give you the things that you need in your life? Trust him, obey him. Again, we're told in James 1:17, every single good thing that you ever get comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God is the giver of every good gift, even for the poor man in his time of dire need. And if you remember that God is the giver of every good gift, then obey God and pray to God and trust him. And then again in Matthew 7, verse 7, he says, in fact, I'll go to that and read it rather than quote off the top of my head. He says this, in whatever circumstance you find yourself, these words are applicable. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks, find. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Well, what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? This is primarily talking about spiritual benefits, but it's not confined to that. We're told that there is a God who has given us this commandment, but then said to us, ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And you know how to give good gifts to your children. God, your Father in heaven, knows how to give good gifts to you. So, when we steal, even when we place our desire, or we're careless about taking things that don't belong to us, we're not trusting God to care for us in the way that we should. There's something else that it shows about what we've misunderstood about God, or perhaps something that we've forgotten about God. We've forgotten that God is a judge and these commandments were given under fire. God gave these commandments from a mountain which was blackened with the fire that God spewed out to show the Israelites that he was a holy God and that what he was going to say was important and must be taken seriously. If you steal, you don't fear God enough. When we steal, we don't fear God enough. Perhaps you don't have fear for your employer. Perhaps you don't even fear the person you're stealing from. Perhaps you don't fear the government, but fear God. Fear God. When we steal, it also shows that we have a sinful attitude towards other people. And this is something that the world will generally accept. Most people realise, and this is where people will start, is that when you steal, you hurt others. You place yourself, your desires, perhaps your needs, over the needs and the rights of other people. When you ask people why is stealing wrong, usually they will give this answer: it hurts other people. And that's certainly true. This is part of the reason why God has given this commandment. When we steal, we make ourselves more important than everyone else. We don't think of others as being just as important as ourselves. And when we justify reasons why we can take for ourselves things that belong to other people, then we make ourselves more important than them. In response to this, Paul, the apostle, has a spirit-inspired commandment. He says this in Ephesians 4. One of the most basic ways that we can avoid falling into the trap of stealing is to learn to give to other people. Ephesians 4:27 says this. 4:28. Paul says, these are people who are Christians now, but he says that there were those among them who definitely were thieves. Let him who stole steal no longer. Stop. That's the first really piece of practical advice. But rather, in place of that, let him labour, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Now, I want to give you the English Standard Version translation, because it brings out something which is a really useful translation. It says this: let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labour, doing honest work. That's doing the work that is good, as it is in the New King James. Doing honest work with his own hands, that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Stealing comes out of a grasping, a taking, a grabbing. Paul's commandment, Paul's advice to those who have been caught up in grasping and grabbing, is to learn to let go, is to learn to give. And the first part of it is work so that you've got something to give. He says, work honestly. Work in a way which is honest for an employer, or whatever way that you can, because there is some work which in the end ends up being stealing. Work honestly so that you may have something to give to other people, not just for your own needs, because even work itself can be a grabbing just for yourself, but work not just so that you can have something for yourself, but so that you can have something to give to other people. Cultivate in yourselves, as recipients of God's grace, both hard work and generosity. And when we learn to let go, we will not have the same desire to grasp. A great example of giving generously is Jesus Christ himself. And he goes on in the next chapter of Ephesians, there in the first couple of verses of Ephesians 5, he says this: Jesus Christ is to be our example of learning to give and to give generously. He says, therefore, he said a whole bunch of other things, including don't steal. Be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling aroma. Jesus Christ has given all of himself for us. And if Jesus Christ has given all of himself for us, if he has not held on to his life and his glory and has been humiliated in the world and has lost his life for our sake, we should learn to let go for the sake of other people. Our great example of giving rather than grasping is Jesus Christ. So when we steal, we demonstrate a sinful attitude towards other people. But we can overcome that by imitating the example of Jesus Christ. And the last thing here is that when you steal, you reveal that you don't really understand your own heart. When you steal, you haven't really understood how deceitful your heart is, because most people still believe in their heart that it's wrong to steal, and yet they've found themselves caught up in theft somehow. Usually because they've justified it somehow. We're told in the Old Testament that the heart of man is deceitful, that it's wicked, that it twists things and tells us lies. One of the lies that it tells us is that in this instance, it's okay to steal, God won't mind. At that point where we listen to our deceitful hearts, we put ourselves above the judgment of God and judge God's commandment instead of allowing God's commandments to judge us. When you steal, you deceive yourself. Usually, you deceive yourself that you're not hurting anyone, that no harm will come of this. Often, harm does come of it where you didn't see it. Secondly, you deceive yourself that you're actually more important than the other person that you're stealing from. Just because the other person may be wealthier than you does not mean that you are more important than them in having or needing those goods. And the third way that you deceive yourself is that God isn't watching. That in this case, God will turn a blind eye, that he'll wink at what you do or what you have done. In each of these instances, you end up being governed by your needs or your desires or your fear of not having enough. And in each of these instances, we end up forsaking the provision of God and trying to take things into our own hands. So finally, and this is really where it's spiritually important, stealing shows us that we need God, because stealing is an assertion that there is no one more important than you and perhaps your own people. Stealing is an assertion of yourself above God. You assert yourself above other people's rights. Perhaps you assert yourself above other people's pain. And you certainly assert yourself above other people, above God's word. And yet, in contrast to that, God, who owns everything, has given abundantly. He's given sacrificially to his very core. Stealing, in the end, is a heart issue. It's about where you put your trust. It's about who you put first. So when Jesus says, so when the Bible says in Exodus, do not steal, the real question is, where do you put your trust? Who do you put first? Are you willing to obey God and trust Jesus Christ? Amen.